Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily podcast on the Brooklyn Nets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Keep the trunk blasting, toe tagging, I'm riding past them. Before you let them ride with the team, you got to ask them, who got snaps on the Petro? Keep it real, don't front, yo.
Happy Thursday, week's almost over. Welcome to the Locked On Nets podcast, your daily dose of Brooklyn Nets news, analysis, and highlights. I'm your host, David Wurzberger. Thanks for tuning in. Great show for you today. We'll be talking to Cameron Dort. He writes about the Raptors, and this will end our week previewing the Atlantic Division. And I mentioned in the interview, the Nets and Raptors have sort of a little underlying, maybe bedrock of a rivalry forming. So I think it's an interesting conversation. You guys should tune in. But before we get to it, let's talk some business. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider leaving a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribing to keep up with future episodes. The games are picking up, so you're definitely going to want to tune in every day, hear the analysis. If you'd like to submit a fan question, tweet us at Locked On Nets. And if you'd like to sponsor the Locked On Nets podcast, we have affordable rates and reach a great deal of Nets fans. You can email us, lockedonnets@gmail.com. Now to our interview with Cameron Dort.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Joining me now on the Locked On Nets podcast, Cameron Dort. You can find his work at Raptors Republic of ESPN's True Hoop Network. Cam, thanks very much for taking the time out tonight.
Thanks for having me, man.
So this is part of our Atlantic Division previews, actually wrapping it up this week. And every guest I've had on, I've asked sort of their general thoughts on the Nets this year, because it's important to get this outside perspective from guys that cover other teams. So how are you feeling about the Nets, what they did this offseason, and how they're looking going forward?
Well, it's going to be, I mean, sorry to all the Nets fans out there, but it's going to be a tough year for the Nets, to be honest. They made some decent moves in the offseason. It's tough given their cap salary and everything that's going on with all the picks they've given away over the last couple of years. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a new beginning in Brooklyn, and that's something you can be excited for. And a lot is going to be expected of Bojan Bogdanović for sure and Brook Lopez. So the additions I'm not thrilled about, but if you can say veteran presence, then they definitely have that.
Now, this is like totally personally for me. I don't know if anyone in the world agrees with me on this, but I think the Nets and the Raptors, and rivalries in the NBA are so weak compared to other sports. You never really get excited about any. Maybe like
agreed.
Yeah, maybe like Warriors Clippers or something. There are a few out there, but I feel like the Nets and Raptors have such a good like bedrock for one. When you think the whole Vince Carter just. Everything. I mean, it would take a while to walk us through the history of Vince Carter going from the Raptors to the Nets and then bearing all those game winners on them and just that back and forth. And then you have that one playoff series a few years ago with Pierce and Garnett and both teams taking shots at each other, and then Pierce with the "that's why they got me here" game winner in Toronto and the game winning block, the series winning block in Toronto. Like, am I crazy for thinking like there's something here, like in my own head?
No, I like that. You add in Masai Ujiri. Remember when he came out, and I don't want to say it on the podcast, but that's some pretty harsh words. So throw that in the mix too. And there's definitely a bedrock for at least a foundation for a rivalry there. Anthony Bennett's a nice little wrinkle to add in too. He's gonna try and help the Nets do something this season. So I think it's absolutely there. Like Grievous Vasquez too, Scola. Like foundations for a heated rivalry are definitely there. I think if the Nets were a little more competitive, we'd see that grow this season. But for the most part, I'm surprised so many people disagree with you. I'd be right there with you saying it's a heated rivalry that I hope personally grows, because the NBA is lacking in that department.
Do Raptors fans have a bit of like distaste in their mouth for the Nets?
Maybe not so much considering the trajectory the two teams have gone on since then, since Game 7 with Pierce. Definitely have a bitter taste specifically for Paul Pierce, but thankfully he's in the Western Conference now. But other than that, I think it's there. It's ready to be light the fire again under the Nets and Raptors rivalry. Like, why not, right?
Man, I'm not sure what team's fan base doesn't have a distaste in their mouth for Paul Pierce. Maybe outside of Boston.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So let's get to, you know, Toronto this year. And over the offseason, they stayed mostly the same. They brought back DeRozan, shuffled up, you know, a few of the role players. How do you like that strategy? Why do you think they went about it that way? And I guess, do you think it's a good, you know, it's going to pay off for them going forward?
I mean, this is essentially the same team that took Cleveland to six games in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? So obviously there's something there that's promising and obviously strong about this Raptors team. And with the exception of losing Bismack Biyombo, who, yeah, had a great energy and really sparked the fans, but I mean, the guy has hands of stone. He can't catch the ball. And with the exception of some big rebounding games, Bismack Biyombo isn't what's going to save or make or break your season. And Orlando or Magic are happy to pay for him. But this is the same team, right? And you bring in Jared Sullinger, who's a proven, albeit has had weaker seasons as of late, but a proven starting four that takes some of the stress and some of the pressure off of Patrick Patterson. And it's just one more year from Kyle Lowry, one more year from DeMar DeRozan, two guys coming off that big Team USA win in Rio. It's not very competitive, but you learn a lot of leadership there. And I don't see what's not to like. Are they going to win 56 games again? That might be tough, but 51, 52 is definitely in the cards. And I'd be surprised if it wasn't another deep playoff run.
So it's looking like Sollinger's the starting four right now?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen right now. Casey said it's his to lose, and Pat's never really exceeded in that starting role. So it's going to be Sollinger. Nick Nurse has him shooting four preseason threes a game, and if he doesn't, supposedly he's getting fined. So they're really trying to make him work at that stretch four.
Man, I might have to challenge you on proven. I don't know if that's
exactly. Yeah, proven's a strong word, but I don't know. He's capable of like 15-8.
It's a good situation for him. It's definitely that. I mean, I feel like that one position is where Toronto could take it to the next level if they had. I thought they were going to trade for Thaddeus Young.
Every year we think that we're going to trade for a power forward. Every year it's like, who can we bring in? There's the big thing about Morris a couple years, 2 years ago. And at some point, you got to get somebody in that role who fits. And unfortunately, Patrick Patterson hasn't been the answer when he's been given the opportunity. So hopefully Sullinger can do it. He's got a lot to prove. We got him on a steal of a contract, at least to try him out. So take a flyer on the big guy and see how he goes.
Do you think the Raptors might make a move this season? Not just for a power forward, but anything really?
They're in a bit of trouble for the third point guard. I know that's not exactly the flashy, splashy move that people want to see. And I mean, it's kind of Fred VanVleet's to lose in preseason right now, which isn't that exciting. But I don't really see them making a move this season, especially the big signing of DeRozan. Kyle Lowry has a player option next year. So I think the Raptors are going to stay pat with what they have and hope everyone stays healthy. Like, you got to remember, Damari Carroll, we got 75% of what he's capable of last year. So hopefully he enters the season healthy, and it's going to see what all five starters look like for a change will be nice.
Well, what about Carroll at the four? I know he played a little bit of that during the playoffs. Do you think he could do that full-time, or is that not on the cards right now?
Man, they'd go so small if Carroll was the starting four, and Valanciunas at the five is – there's not really a true backup for him right now. I mean – Siakam and Poeltl are both big boys that the Raptors brought in. But other than that, it's a small lineup after Valanciunas, really. So I'd love to see Carroll play some minutes at four if the Raptors go super small. But, I mean, his job is to lock down the Paul Georges and the LeBron James of the Eastern Conference, right? You kind of need him. You kind of need him out there on the wing sometimes. But, yeah, he can fit into that small lineup at the four. I don't see why not.
I think it'd be interesting to see if the Raptors gun at Kenneth Faried, because I don't think he's staying in Denver this season.
I know. That's enough, man. You bring that name up, too.
Yeah.
The amount of times Kenneth Faried has been floating on the Raptors rumor mill as coming to Toronto has been unbelievable. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It'd be nice. It'd be nice to have somebody with that energy who can play the four. And I don't know if Sullinger's that guy. You've watched him play a lot, too. I mean, he's been on Boston for a while, so
yeah.
Yeah, you might be right about whether he's a proven starter or not, but he's gonna get the run, so he's gonna get the opportunity. So it's a waiting game, you know.
So let's make our predictions on what the Raptors, I guess, will finish out this year as. The way I see it is, no one's really touching Cleveland in the East. I think it's fair to say. Yep. All
right. I mean, we'll see what they do with J.R. Smith, right? He's a pretty integral part of that team, but.
Yeah, he is. But
at the end of the day, yeah, James Love and Irving. I don't know who's touching that. Yeah.
Right. And so for the rest of the conference, basically, or at least the next few teams, which is Boston, you guys, and I think that's probably it, really, as far as that sort of second tier.
How do you like Indiana this year?
I'm really low on them. I'll be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't trust the defense.
You don't like Jeff Teague?
I don't trust the defense, and I'm not crazy about Paul George, really.
Really? But, okay.
Yeah, it's a hot take for another podcast, but
yeah, we'll get into that one day for sure. Yeah.
But so for Boston and Toronto, it's basically you know, gun for that second, third seed, get back to the conference finals, and hope, I don't know, Cleveland has a bad series, LeBron gets hurt, whatever.
Right.
How confident are you that this Raptors team is better than Boston right now? Because they did add Al Horford.
So if you're, for you to say, like, here we go. Like, if my hot take, I guess, is that I'm lower on Al Horford than pretty much anybody else. So this guy's been injured lately. I don't know if he's any better than Paul Millsap. I mean, that was proven pretty quickly over the last couple of seasons. And with the exception of Al Horford and Brad Stevens, who's an excellent coach, I don't know what else Boston brings to the table. I don't know why people have them as these projections of 55 wins, of 56 wins, of division champs. I know they're hungry for it. I know Danny Ainge believes that his team can do it, but I just think the Raptors, I mean, look where they went last year. And if you compare what the two teams have done in the offseason, yes, Al Horford's a way bigger signing than anything the Raptors have done. But with that exception, I don't see the hype surrounding Boston the way everybody else seems right now. So I still have the Raptors winning the division.
The way I see it is, you have Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, sort of the two stars on that team, and Horford's a really good defender. And just all those pieces plus the system, I mean, they're going to be a terrific defense. I'm a little shakier on Toronto's defense, and Horford really helps them on the offensive end too, where it was usually just basically IT. I mean, Jay Crowder is still not the best offensive player. Avery Bradley is more of a role player, you know?
Marcus Smart, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same deal.
So I see Horford as, you know, a creator there, a secondary scorer. I think if I, you know, if I had to make the call, I would go Boston over Toronto. Like, I'd say, forget division rankings because I'm a little less concerned with that. But, like, if they meet in a series somehow, I would go Boston over Toronto. But it's interesting to hear your take. I'm going to challenge you on another thing. I'm going really negative with this team for some reason. Because my next question is, you know, you guys paid $27 million per year, essentially, for DeMar DeRozan.
Empty the bank, baby.
You sound happy about that.
Honestly, I mean, it's one of those situations where your hand's forced, right? Like, that's the nature of the NBA. That's the nature of these big money contracts. I think DeRozan is, people love to hate on, one of the only shooting guards left in the NBA who still relies on the long two, and I respect that. Like, it's become such an analytical game, but the guy can flat out ball, and there's few players who can score at will like he still can in the NBA, get to the line like he still can in the NBA. Like, only James Harden had more trips to the line last year, I'm pretty sure. So, he can't shoot the three. And trust me when I say this, if all of Toronto puts their head in their hands every time he misses those, especially when he's left wide open to take them, as we saw all postseason. But he got called the 46th best player in the NBA by Sports Illustrated this year. And I think he's better than that. And I think that in today's NBA, the value placed on a proven scorer and perennial all-star candidate is worth that money. Are there other guys who will make more than money, will make the same money and be a better player? Yes, but the hand was forced and we took the plunge and he's our guy now.
Yeah, I'm weird on this because, like, I can't really say, oh, Toronto should have done this instead, because, like, what are you going to do? It's a good fit.
Right.
He's comfortable in the system. It's been working, right? Even if you don't like the player individually. And I'm going to take this moment to, talk negatively about DeRozan. I think he's a really good regular season player.
In the, yep, that's fair. That's fair.
In the playoffs, and we've seen it, like, I don't have the stats on me, but this is pure eye test right now. I feel like if you pull up his playoff statistics, things like that, you'll see he didn't play as well as in the regular season, and that's because, like you said, he gets to the line a lot. Free throws are a lot harder to come by in the playoffs. Guys left him open for three, and you get all this one-on-one, like, perimeter attention on him. You get the best perimeter defenders on him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's, like, that good of a natural scorer as maybe some people think. Like, I love the idea of the old Kobe-style shooting guard coming back. I'm not sure DeRozan's that guy as much as I want him to be, because I do like him. Like, yeah. There's nothing not to like about the guy. But let's go into some positive stuff. I feel like an ass for coming on here and crapping on your team.
Yeah, trashing the Raps. Yeah, no, man. That's understandable. Yeah.
So Brooklyn's going to be hunting for guys in the late first round, in the second round, in the D League, guys like that, guys that have been overlooked, but the Nets are going to be looking to find great value in that. And it feels like the Raptors found amazing value in a couple of guys I have written down. Name more if you have more. Corey Joseph and Norman Powell. I mean,
yeah. So I'm lower, to be honest. Now to switch back, now it's me being negative. I'm lower on Corey Joseph than most, only because what he was able to do when he was on that Spurs team and what's expected of him now, it became so clear to me in the playoffs that I don't know how good Corey Joseph is at running an offense. He understands where people should be, and I think his basketball IQ is almost too high for the Raptors sometimes, if that makes sense. But we watched countless times him just calling for screens, setting up picks, calling for movement, and eating up 15 seconds of the shot clock, whereas Kyle Lowry makes these plays happen in movement. So Corey Joseph for me is a guy that I hope this season really takes that next step forward as creating his own shot and being a floor captain. But Norman Powell is just, I've got nothing but positive things to say about Norman.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, you know, put yourself in the mind of Masai Ujiri. How do you find these guys?
I mean, putting myself in the mind of Masai Ujiri is putting myself in the mind of one of the best basketball thinkers we have in the game right now, right? So
yeah.
Even the Terrence Ross contract that everyone snuffed at 11 mil a year is looking pretty good right now. Like, he has this way to just think one step further than everybody. And I think once you start developing that reputation, players want to play hard for you. They want to prove that you made the right call. And guys like Corey Joseph, Terrence Ross, Norman Powell proved that last season. So even as your reputation grows from being such a good basketball mind, you just get an added benefit. And we're watching that with Masai right now. It's amazing.
Let's get into this Nets-Raptors season series. Anything you find interesting about this matchup?
I mean, going over what we talked about, how there's some ex-Raptors on the team, Grievous Vasquez, Luis Scola, I do like that. Without being too negative about your Nets, I hope it's an opportunity for some of Toronto's role players to step up, maybe see guys like Norman Powell get some more minutes, maybe see Pascal Siakam start a little bit more, maybe have some of these minutes where, you know, you get to watch the Raptors B team kind of take off.
What you're saying is, I can't wait till the Raptors go up 30 so I can see these young guys out there.
Exactly. I can't wait for some free early season W's. But no, I'm intrigued by the Nets this year. I mean, it's at least they're finally moving in the right direction. So there will be some fun games. I've always been a big fan of Randy Foy, but I mean, he's kind of reaching the twilight of his career or getting there anyways. So, I don't know. It's going to be a fun series. What do you see happening?
Well, I can't wait for the Luis Scola revenge game, first of all.
Yeah.
So you know he'll go off for like 25 points, even in a loss. Exactly. You know it's just going to happen.
Yeah, but three rebounds and some nice slow pick and rolls down the court. I can't wait.
I'm actually really excited to watch Rondae Hollis-Jefferson guarding DeRozan. Like I was saying, DeRozan struggles against some of the best perimeter defenders in the league, so this will sort of be a test for Hollis-Jefferson to see if he's one of those guys.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I like Hollis-Jefferson a lot. I'm high on him, so we agree there for sure.
Yeah, so I pinned this down as it's either a 3-1 series win for the Raptors or 2-2, depending on, I don't know, one game someone's going to get hurt. Guys are going to get tired, whatever it is. I keep asking my guests to predict the season series, and then I just sound like an idiot doing it, because how do you even do that?
Right. Well, I'll put my money where my mouth is and say 4-0 this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm scared for your Nets, man.
Yeah, I think I'm higher on them than most. I have people coming on telling me it's going to be in the late teens in wins. I don't know. I think it's kind of rough.
It's hard to go under. What did they win last year? 21 games or something? It's hard to go under that. And I think they've improved just by subtraction almost, if that makes sense. So I don't have them that low, but I just don't know where those wins are coming. The East is crawling back to respectability.
Absolutely.
One team at a time, right?
Yeah. Cameron, thank you very much for coming on, man. That's all I have.
Thank you very much, man. That was a great chat. Appreciate it.
Where can people find you?
People can find me at Cam Dorrett, CamDorrett on Twitter, and my writing on Raptors Republic. I also do some radio work for TSN 1150.
Ah, that's great, man. We're looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you, man.
That'll do it for today's Locked On Nets podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. Give us 5 stars on iTunes if you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
way I move, I'ma always keep let me get it one time. Don't fake the funk, keep it real, don't fake the funk. Let me see them hands high.